Once upon a time, there was a vast prison that held people from all over the world. Each person had their individual cell, but this prison was unlike ones we think about today. It was a huge prison with lots of room and common areas. And life was actually pretty good in this prison. Meals were okay. They allowed the inmates time in the common areas. People could meet up with their families. They could even have a party. The prison was so vast that it included a mountain park. So inmates could go on supervised day trips out into the mountains to breathe some fresh air. But they always had to come back to their cell. Yet a cruel warden ruled the prison. He put on a smile when he saw the inmates. He pretended to care about their needs, but there's no doubt he was in charge. And he would never let anyone out of the prison during his watch. To ensure this, he had a legion of guards. They patrolled the prison grounds. They sat on guard towers watching over the walls. He even had patrols crisscrossing the region outside the prison walls to capture any who would dare escape. Though people lived an okay life inside the prison, some wondered what life would be like outside the walls. Yet they'd never gone out before. The guards and some of the warden's favorite inmates told them outside was a wild and dangerous place, and no one survived there. Yet there was a rumor about some castle or kingdom on the other side of the mountains. A good king ruled there, said the rumor. People supposedly lived and thrived under his rule. They didn't live in prison cells. There was even talk of joy and fulfillment. But few inmates even whispered about this kingdom, for if the guards heard you mention the castle, you could spend 30 days in solitary confinement. And if the warden heard about your mention, you might spend even longer there. Yet every once in a while, a graffiti drawing of a sparkling castle appeared in some hallway in the prison. And sometimes you would hear a scream from your cell block further on down from where you were. And the next morning when you were let out, you would walk by that cell and you could see the guards scrubbing off something on the walls. One time, one prisoner reported seeing the saying, "Freedom for the captives," before the guards could paint it over. Life went on day after day, year after year, for the inmates until one day another rumor started traveling through the cell blocks. Some prisoner had come to the warden, the rumor said, claiming he had authority to release the captives. The rumor grew and finally was confirmed by an inmate who worked on the office cleaning staff in the warden's offices. He overheard this conversation. The cleaner was in the next office when this prisoner came to confront the warden. The cleaner overheard this inmate announce that he had come to set the captives free. And the cleaner heard the warden laugh. "No one will get released. Every inmate has done wrong in their lives. They have all sentenced themselves to life in prison and death. The only way they can get out is by giving their own life, spilling their own blood," said the warden. The cleaner couldn't contain his curiosity, so he peered through a crack in the door and saw an amazing sight. The inmate confronting the warden began to remove his prison overalls. And underneath he wore shining clothes, royal clothes. This was no ordinary prisoner. This was the son of the king from the castle over the mountains. So the rumors were true. The warden was at first shocked, but then he seemed to regain his composure. He looked down at the prison garment now thrown on the floor and said, "Wait a minute. Prisoner 12-3777, I know that number. You were that prisoner over in cell block 55. Cell block 55 was notorious for being the roughest and poorest cell block in the prison. I remember you trying to stir up trouble, said the warden. Didn't I sentence you to be executed? The warden checked his records. Here it is, he scowled triumphantly. I have the order for your execution right here. You must have played some trick, but you are still under my authority, and I sentence you to death. Guards, take him away. But as the guards moved to arrest the son simply said, stop. And they could not move. And then the cleaner saw the son take out a key. And the cleaner heard a sound that he had never heard before and never wanted to hear again. It was the sound of the scream of the warden, a terrible scream. The son held a key that the warden had only heard about. It was the costliest key in all of history. I thought it didn't exist, the warden gasped when he saw the key. What did it cost to get it? The son explained that to purchase this key, one first had to live a life where you did no wrong. And then it required such a person to give up their life for others. This would then secure their release. The warden sneered at such an idea. Nobody would do that. Besides, even if they did, they'd be dead. No one would hear about it or act on it. And the warden declared he would find those guards who failed to execute prisoner 12-3777. But the son replied, no such search is necessary. The guards carried out their duties well. What do you mean? Said the warden. They executed me. How can that be? You're standing right here, said the warden. Check your records, said the prisoner, or the son. The warden went to his filing cabinet, pulled out a file containing the list of those executed in the past 3 days, and slowly his finger came to the line labeled prisoner 12-3777. It said, execution completed, time of death, last Friday at 3:00 p.m. How can this be? Said the warden. How can you be alive if you were executed? My father, the king of the castle, came across the mountains and raised me from the dead, said the son. I now have conquered death, paid for sin, and conquered you. I also have authority to proclaim the good news to the poor on cell block 55. And I've been sent to proclaim liberty to the captives. You cannot stop me. I will roam through your prison proclaiming this news to everyone, and I will release anyone who trusts in me. The warden smiled. Why would you want to release them? They are a bunch of scumbags who turn on each other at the slightest opportunity. There's nothing noble about them. You'd be wasting your time. The son said, I'm not releasing them because of any good that they've done, or their wealth, or their popularity in the prison. I am offering them release by grace. The warden's eyes flared with anger. Grace. No one but weaklings talks about grace. The only way to earn any promotion to a higher class prison cell is through works and the approval of others. Grace doesn't get anyone anywhere, said the warden. That's true in your prison, warden, said the son. But grace abounds in my father's kingdom. I will release anyone who puts their faith in me. The warden knew he couldn't stop the son from going through the prison with his key, but the warden still smiled. Go ahead. You want to proclaim liberty to the captives? I give them a good life here. A party here, a sightseeing expedition there, and a full belly. They're satisfied. Besides, they won't venture out beyond the prison. My patrols will catch them and strike them down. This time the son smiled. Yes, your patrols may harass them on their journey to my father's castle, but they will make it. My father reserves a place for them in the castle the moment they trust me. I will not leave them undefended. In fact, my father will provide them armor from his castle for their journey. He will give them the chest plate of righteousness to cover them. He will provide them with the belt of truth so they can see through your lies. He will ensure they have good shoes for their feet so they can make the journey proclaiming good news of peace. And your patrols may ambush them with fiery darts, but my father will give them shields with which to extinguish your darts. They will each receive a helmet of salvation, which you will not be able to knock off. And my father has fashioned enough swords of the Spirit for everyone. They will use them to find their way through the mountains and to the castle. On top of that, he has an extensive communication system that you cannot block. It's called the prayer network. They will have constant access to my father and me through everything they face until they reach the gate into my father's glorious kingdom. So I am going now to proclaim the news to the prisoners. And don't worry, warden, I will come back someday. And this time, I am coming for you. The warden said nothing as the son walked out past the paralyzed guards. As soon as the son left, the guards were released, and the warden called all his staff in for an emergency meeting. The cleaner quickly got back to his duties and heard no more. But everyone could see the warden's counter-offensive take shape. In some cell blocks, the warden funded lavish parties and getaways, so when the son came by to proclaim liberty to the captives, most ignored him and turned to continue to enjoy the party. In other cell blocks, like cell block 55, the warden increased the misery component, cutting rations in half. He made life harder for all who stayed there. But this mostly backfired because people in greater misery were much more open to be released from their captivity. The warden didn't worry much about cell blocks filled with good moral people. He knew they wouldn't admit to needing rescue. They believed they could do it on their own if they really wanted to. Besides, their good works earned some favor with the warden, and they saw their lives marginally improve year after year. And in cell blocks where people might entertain the idea of being released, the warden blitzed them with a public relations campaign. He slandered the king as evil and oppressive. He magnified the dangers of life outside the prison, and he mocked the son's message, claiming anyone who needs grace is just looking for a crutch in their lives. Sadly, many ignored the son when he came with his offer of release and liberty. But some responded. Some put their trust in him, and he took them to the gates of the prison. Then he took out his golden key and opened the gate and walked with them beyond it. Outside, as far as the eye could see, suits of armor stood waiting to be sized and fitted for all who trusted the Son. Once suited with armor, they began their journey together with others who trusted the Son. They faced trials and flaming arrows from the warden's patrols, yet they held their shields of faith together to withstand his attacks. And they cried out to the Father and the Son through the prayer network when they got lost. He guided them back onto the path. And when the journey got hard, some thought about going back to the prison and life there, but others encouraged them to keep going. And sometimes the king would send messengers to show them the way or reveal his great love for them. Eventually, they all made it to the great castle. The gates of the castle opened, and they entered the kingdom of grace to live forever in his presence. The end. Why can we live with hope in 2021 and beyond? Because God has released us from prison and equipped and empowered us to keep on going until our arrival at his eternal home. Or to say it another way, God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we find this glorious reality in the middle of a New Testament passage called Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, which says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Verses 1 to 3 describe life in the great prison. It is a life of death, and I couldn't help but notice that many people think that this dead existence is actually what life is all about today. Following the ways of the world, living in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our bodies and our minds. Many would say, that's true life. That's where happiness is found. Such a life brings ultimate satisfaction and joy, but only for a short while. It is still a life in prison. It is a life we can't get out of on our own. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We needed rescue. And then verse 4 has the great turning point. But God, being great in rich in mercy, and because of the great love with which he loved us, then verse 5, made us alive together in Christ. There's only one way to get back to life when you're dead, and that's for someone else to come along and give you life. And that's what God did in Christ for us. He transferred us out of the realm of death and into the realm of life with and in Christ. But God did not only make us alive in Christ. It's not like he released us from the devil's prison and then said, "You're on your own." Nor did he call us to some odyssey and hope we made it safely to God's castle. God has broken us free from that prison and already established our place in that safe castle. He has given us access to all the resources of the castle, all the treasures, all its wisdom from all of its libraries, armor from its armory, and everything that we need to complete the journey to God's castle. We see this in verse 6. "And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So we have not only been raised to new spiritual life, we have been raised up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. We have been decisively transferred from the realm of death to the realm of resurrection life. We still live in our mortal bodies here, but we are now citizens of heaven. And here we experience new life and liberation from the powers which held us enslaved. One commentator puts it like this: "The movement from the devil's kingdom to God's kingdom is a movement from death to resurrection life. From trespasses, sins, sensual indulgence, and disobedience to good works. From this present world age to the heavenly realms. From bondage to the forces ruling this world to victory with Christ above the hostile powers. It is a movement from the sphere of selfish autonomy to union with Christ. From dominion by the devil to a life controlled from start to finish by God. From what humanity is by nature to what it becomes by grace. From liability to God's wrath to experience of his mercy, love, kindness, and grace. And we see the move to this life in verses 8 to 10 of Ephesians 2. Here the writer reflects on the grace of our salvation and reminds us that we are the workmanship of God, created to do good works. And from there, he will move on eventually into chapters 4 to 6 in Ephesians, which describe the life and community of God's people in the kingdom. And all of the commands of these chapters are not moral imperatives that we try to carry out in our own strength. They show the life of heaven's citizens. The Lord empowers and enables us to live like this. Yes, there are commands, but God helps us carry out these commands. And the letter concludes with the somewhat famous passage on the armor of God. And Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." This is the warden and his armed guards. But God provides the armor. We put it on and stand firm while we journey towards the castle. So no matter what 2021 brings, we can live with hope. Because God has raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly places with him. And we have a purpose for 2021 described in Ephesians 2, verse 7. So that in the coming ages, God might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So if you do nothing else in 2021, but proclaim to others the depth of grace that God has shown you and his incredible kindness towards you, you will have used 2021 well. And we have learned over these past weeks that we can live with hope because we have seen God show up like he did when the Word became flesh. We have seen God speak up like he did when he sent the angel messenger to guide Joseph with the news he needed to join in with God's plan. We can live with hope because God lifts up the humble as he did with Mary. And Jesus gave himself up for us as the great high priest. And God raised us up with Christ to the heavenly places and seated us with him. Maybe you're here today or watching online and you just realized you still live in prison. You think that's all there is to life. But God has opened your eyes today to the possibility of transfer from the realm of death to the realm of resurrection life. And if you want to accept Jesus' offer, you must put the trust of your life onto him. And through your faith, he will pour God's grace and love over you and rescue you from prison. And for those of us already released, let us encourage one another to keep going on our journey to God's eternal kingdom. Let us thank him for the armor and the prayer network that he's provided for us on our journey. And let us do the good works that he's prepared for us to do until we see him face to face. Let us pray together. Lord God, Lord Jesus, we sometimes, if we have grown up in the church, can forget the magnitude of the gift that we have received in your coming, Lord Jesus, and your sending, O God. We confess our complacency, our forgetfulness, and the fact that we once lived in slavery, in prison. We confess that sometimes we might even look back on that life and think that was living. But thank you for releasing us from the realm of death and showing us the realm of resurrection life. For those who are discouraged today, I pray you will encourage them with your word and your spirit and with others who will come along. Help us to encourage one another to keep going, to keep the faith, to keep loving you and reminding one another of your great grace and kindness towards us. For those under assault today, from the flaming darts of the evil one, help us to come around with our shields of faith and form a great barrier to protect these who are struggling and to encourage them that we will all make it. And for anyone who maybe today for the first time has been or seen the possibility of freedom from their captivity, please give them courage and faith to step out, to step beyond the prison walls in faith, to trust what you have for them. We thank you that you are a loving and gracious God, and that you care for all and you have cared for us. And we ask for your protection, for your guidance, for your leadership and your provision through the end of this year into 2021 and beyond for the rest of our days or until you return. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.